Tapio, why don't you tell us how Spacer got its start?
Well, that's a long story, but let me keep it really short. I was actually studying in the States in my sort of younger years. I went to Clarion University, which is in Pennsylvania, quite close to Pittsburgh. And that's where I met Norman James, and we sort of formed the first version of the Spacer. So basically, that's how the whole thing got started. We sort of kicked around the tri-state area. However, at some point, I had to move back to Finland because we have mandatory military service, so I really have a choice in that matter. So we sort of lost contact. However, I always liked the idea, the ideas we had for the band and for the music. And when I moved to the UK, this is a long one, but I'll just try to keep it really short. So basically, I met Mark Tufte Evans at the Metropolis Studio, which is like the biggest studio in Europe, I suppose. So I was doing like a music production course there, and I played some of my tracks to him, and he liked the songs, and we decided to sort of pursue that aspect of it. And the name of the band, we were thinking of obviously other names for the band, but he really liked the band and sort of that sort of stuck. So that this is like the second version of the Spacer, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Okay, good. And so we just sort of started working on some songs, and one of the songs was called Candy Apple Red, which is actually goes all the way back to the first Spacer. And Tufte liked there's like a story about an extraterrestrial girl arriving on Earth, and she falls in love with this Earth guy, and that was what the song was about. And he sort of liked the premise of it, and my manager Kevin Reynolds basically told me to sort of write a whole story around that, because obviously the song doesn't actually explain why the girl came around and what happened after that and all that la di da. And so basically I wrote a 50, 60 page long short story about that incident and obviously what happened to the girl and the guy. And that turned out to be the artifact. And so basically that sort of prompted us to create a whole a concept album around that. So it's like a sci-fi music album. If that makes any sense. And around that, we wanted to create like a graphic novel. So basically, we're talking about a graphic novel that goes with the music album.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about, of course, the artifact.
The artifact is like an ancient alien device. But the story is actually in three parts. So the first part doesn't explain exactly what the artifact is. That would be in the sort of following, in the sequel, if you like.
Now, does it? I don't know. Is it a graphic novel? I mean, does the graphic novel feature different things like the Anunnaki? Then,
sorry, what's that?
Now, does the graphic novel itself feature certain things like, out of today's possible ancient mythology like the Anunnaki and things like that?
I'm not, to be honest, I'm not really that much into that part of the the sort of folklore, UFO folklore. But I've done a lot of research and I've spoken to a lot of different people, so I've sort of made my own version of all sort of events. But basically what I'm trying to tell with the story is that our ancestors came from another planet, and this girl is actually like a distant cousin to us, if you like. And so that's basically the sort of the premise of the story, but there's much more to it, because I call this race Tamrunians, and these Tamrunians are really, you know, worried about the state of the planet, and they're trying to do everything to save it. Sorry, I should actually mention that this is set in the future, about 25-30 years from today, in London.
Okay. And you know, that's actually a growing theory in the scientific community, that maybe life hops from planet to planet. I mean it's already been proven that that's how the Earth got its water supply, was from comets.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory.
Exactly. Well, and they've already proven that microbes and things like that can survive in the vacuum of space indefinitely. They just go into hibernation.
Right. Okay. I wasn't actually aware of that, but yeah, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's basically it. So I'm mixing sort of fiction and facts and turn it into something of my own.
Science faction, if you will.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, I've heard the single creature, and I really like it for its diversity. That's like, it's got multiple genres that are distinctly represented. It's not like, I guess you would say, a melting pot like some songs are, where influences are molded to the point where they almost intertwine with each other. But a lot of the sounds and music in Creature is very distinct. But yet it flows, you know, into each other. But while staying distinct. So it's a great song. Well, how would you describe the Spacer sound?
That's a good question. We sort of thought that long and hard, to be honest. And obviously, Tufte, I should mention that he's worked with everyone from Bee Gees to Spice Girls, Joe Cocker, Elton John, and even Asia and the sort of rock bands. So basically, we wanted to sort of combine all these different elements which we like. So it's like it's got a bit of a dance beat to it, rock guitars, catchy sort of pop melodies, and we even coined a phrase, cinematic pop. So that's what we call it, cinematic pop.
Man.
Also we added, I don't know if you can actually hear it, but there are like sounds of a spaceship.
Actually, you can hear it, and there's different distinct sounds as the song fades out.
Yeah, correct.
You know, now how did you hook up with Peter Cox? Because I've got a beef with him. When The King of Wishful Thinking came out, it took me like a year to get that out of my head.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll let you know.
Well, you know, that's one of those songs that it's just, the chorus is just like, it's going to stick with you no matter who you are.
Exactly, yeah. No, I know what you're saying. Well, basically, I mean, as I mentioned, Tufte's work with everyone, and Peter was actually one of them. But that's not really the reason why we contacted him, because my question to the people that I work with was like, who would you like to work with? Who's like the greatest singer? Obviously, there are a lot of great singers, so don't get this wrong. But like, you know, who would be your sort of favorite singer to work with? And everybody said Peter Cox, which was great, because I do remember him from Go West as well. And I always liked his voice, but I never actually sort of thought of working with him. So that was, you know, we were really lucky that, you know, he liked the song, and he co-wrote he wrote the verse for the track anyways. So he was really into it, and he's a big sci-fi fan as well. So it worked out really nicely. And we'll probably do some other tracks with him as well.
I mean, and it fits too. I mean, it's different from what he's doing and what he's done, but it kind of makes what you did with the song different. So it's almost like a bridge.
Yes, you nailed it. That's exactly what we were sort of after, and it was kind of funny because we played the song to him first, and then it's just, you know, sort of asking, you know, would you be into doing something a bit different, and he said, definitely, because he said, these not his exact words, but basically what he said was, I never really get to belt it out. And I said, well, now's your chance. And that, you know, he just went for it. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's got such a good voice too. He almost has a soul quality to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, we couldn't get all the little wailings and ad libs he did, you know, on that track. But maybe we'll do like a.
Oh, I mean, since you've started out with such an iconic, you know, duel duet, I should actually say. I don't know where I came up with duel. That sounds stupid now, actually. But, you know, who would you like to work with now if you could work with anyone in the world, living or dead?
Okay. Well, basically what we've done, we've broached quite a few people, you know, over the months, and we're still waiting to hear from some people. But there's actually quite a few. I have a long list, at least like 20, 30 people that I'd like to work with. But if I sort of go back to my sort of early days, I was greatly sort of influenced by the Police.
Mm.
So he would be definitely, you know, in the top three. David Bowie would be great. There are so many, to be honest. I wouldn't know where to start. Even Nick Kershaw. Yeah, so many great musicians. And
you know what's funny? It's funny that you mentioned David Bowie, because when I first heard Creature, I thought, you know, Tapia would be good, you know, to work with David Bowie. And I actually had a specific Bowie in mind. I'm talking like 1989 Bowie when he started Tin Machine.
All right, okay.
You know, like, I mean, I could picture what you're doing molding with what they did with that, and it sounded totally different, you know, but cool.
All right, okay, so David Bowie, if you're listening, give me a...
So, yeah, I heard he's really hard to get a hold of these days. Like, he just wants to put out an album and just be left alone.
That seems to be the case, yeah. Obviously, we have, you know, his contact details, but like they haven't replied to us. So yeah,
hopefully. Exactly. But Bowie, yeah, David, if you're listening, man, hook up with the spacer. I think it'd be great. But well, what's the spacer have planned after the album release?
Well, basically, I mean, we're working on the album now, and the story has been turned into a film script as well. So basically, we're sort of pursuing two different things, the film or the movie and the album. So we're sort of planning to have the album completed by this sort of fall, you know, 2016, by the end of next year. And we're actually going to LA in January just to sort of have some initial meetings and see if we can sort of pursue the film side of it as well. And sort of on top of that, we'll just try to probably do some tracks with some American artists as well.
Nice. Now, is it harder writing a concept album than it is writing a regular album? Because, well, because I'm a musician myself, but I've never written a concept album. So I've always found it easy. I mean, not that hard to write specific songs, because each song is a different subject.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends how you look at it, because it sort of helps, because you sort of stick into sort of a theme. But when you're just writing an album, you can go any which direction you want. But then again, what I've sort of found out in the process is that, because you need to sort of stick to the storyline, that it is a bit limiting as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, well, it seems like it would be a little constrictive because, you know, unlike writing a regular album where each song is its own thing, you know, and the album is a collective of that, you're writing something that has to continue in linear time from start to finish.
Exactly, yeah. But I'm sort of doing that quite loosely. So what I'm hoping to do is that each song, like Creature, could sort of have a life of its own as well, you know, so it wouldn't be completely, you know, sort of... It's part of the whole concept, but still, you know, it could be a separate thing as well.
Where they could each stand on their own as a single, so to say. Nice. Now, where can we find the Spacer online?
At this moment, we only have the Facebook site. So that's just if you Google the Spacer on Facebook, you should be able to find it. The thing is, we have a peer company doing the what they call the radio campaign now. So they're just doing sort of the initial approach and basically, the physical single is going to be out in the beginning of the year, and that's when we're going to have all the websites and everything up and running.
Nice. Well, thanks for being on the show today, Tapio. I really appreciate it.
I really enjoyed it.